us has one body with many members, and those members do not all have the same function. So, in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to the others. How many of you ever experienced gout? This week, Tuesday, I woke up with, what is going on with my foot? My toe is all swelled up. It's so painful. That's what it was. It was gout. I didn't go to the doctor, but presumably it was gout. You know, I looked up online. What are the symptoms? Usually your big toe. Check box. Swollen. Check box. So painful you hardly have want the sheet to touch it. Check box. You know, so on and on. I'm sure that's what it was. I read about a pastor who had an injury, and his comments were, a number of years ago, I fell and injured my wrist rather severely. It swelled up and got very painful, and the rest of my body felt so bad about it that they sat up all night to keep it company. Have you ever had that? All this, well, it's one little part of me, and goodness, I can't sleep. I can't sleep. I thought that was pretty appropriate. So that's like the body of Christ, isn't it? We have, if somebody in the body here is having a hard time or having a really exciting time, it affects the whole body. Affects the whole body. Well, I'm going to read another passage, and this one is long. So buckle up, folks. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It starts in verse 1. I might skip down a little bit instead of starting right with, I think I'll skip down to verse 4. Verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. And to another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, the interpretation of tongues. All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And he gives them to each one, just as he determines. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body. Whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. That the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? Where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor, And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. And in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. Then workers of miracles. Also those having gifts of healing. Those able to help others. Those with gifts of administration. And those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts. And now I will show you the most excellent way. How many of you remember that's the introduction kind of to the love chapter in 1 Corinthians? If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, you know, it goes on and on. That's the introduction to that. But boy, that's a mouthful, isn't it, that passage I just read? It's a really long one. And it talks about the different parts of the body. You know, we just welcomed members. We just had this baptism with Sabrina. We're having a baptism this afternoon, welcoming people into our little tiny representation of Christ here in Stutzmanville. But we're part of the greater body of Christ, aren't we? The worldwide and throughout time body of Christ. I just looked up this morning, it was, how many cells are in the human body? You know, we think about this passage that he talks about. He mentions, your eyes or your feet, or he mentions these different parts of your body, your ears. And those are kind of big parts of your body. And I got thinking, how many cells are in your body? You know, when we think of Stutzmanville and people participating here, we might think about eyes and ears and bigger parts. You can, divide the body up, fingers or whatever. But when you think about the greater body of Christ, so many people, there are around, they're guessing, really, it's an interpolation, 37 trillion cells in a body with 200 different kinds of cells. Like, wow, that'll make a math guy go nuts, you know? And the weird thing is it's between 10 and 100 trillion bacterium in your body. Isn't that weird? Helps with digestion and all these different functions. It helps and assists us. But do you ever feel like, people don't understand me. I mentioned that just earlier in this introduction. I'm so different. I'm different than anybody else, it seems. And that's true. In many respects, we are. The Greek word there is diuresis, and they use it in different contexts. If they use it in medicine, it means kind of dissecting or cutting apart. That's the making it different. And they use it in economics, like maybe dividing the inheritance, separating, okay, you get this amount and you get this amount, or maybe as they are dividing up wages, you know, it talks in the scripture about when they had the folks come in to harvest, and they said you would divide it up. Those who came first got this wage and all that sort of stuff. In speech and rhetoric, it's a break in or a division, like sentences or a paragraph ending. You know, I'm talking and I'll take a little break. That's a division. That's this diuresis. And in surveying, in agriculture, it talked about surveying. You know, Moses Joshua allotting the territories to the different tribes of Israel. That's that word there. They weren't speaking Greek in the Old Testament, but there was the Old Testament. I just fumbled with the name, but the Old Testament that was translated into Greek, that's the word they use there. And I worked construction, and then there was one guy in particular I worked really with a lot. And he and I would have this, it wasn't conflict, but boy, did we look at things differently. I tried to explain something. No. He'd explain it a different way. But we, in the end, we were on the same page. We just were talking a different language, it seemed like. We just couldn't quite. But it was different gifting and different viewpoint. How many of you are married or have a significant other? Are you identical? Oh, no, we're not. We're very different. We're very different. Something we've observed, my wife and I, as families go through crisis, maybe a death in the family. That's where we've seen it the most. To generalize, and you know, it's a danger in generalizing, but in general, men and women deal with crisis differently as couples. I was thinking about our friend Keith Kant when he died, you know. It was so impactful for me at the time and for the congregation. And I remember Keith's dad and brothers and other men in the congregation. He died in a sawmill accident, and they said, we got to figure out what happened. We got to solve the problem. We got to see how this could be prevented in the future. We just want to know what happened. And they're not crying. We got to sort this out. We got to do what needs to get done for the maybe the service and get chairs ready. And we're going to use this gravesite and on the details and get things done. And the women are really grieving openly. But so many times, weeks later, the wife has dealt with it. The woman has dealt with it, and then something will trigger it. My neighbor had his dad died, and he said I was hardly grieved at all. And then my dog died, and I just fell apart. I just lost it when my dog died. You know, so God is really merciful in granting us different gifts and different timings on how those gifts are displayed. Isn't that cool? It's frustrating. Isn't that frustrating? Yeah, you go, oh, boy, I wish it was just like me. And maybe that's some of the same sex appeal. I don't know. But I'm so thankful as I get over it and think about it for the differences between me and my wife. And I'm not always thankful, but overall, I am. Let's read another passage here. Let's read another passage. This is shorter, but still pretty long. In Ephesians chapter 4, if you want to look that up in your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 4. Ephesians chapter 4, starting Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, 1st, 2nd, anyway, it's right there at the beginning. right at the beginning. Ephesians. Right after Galatians, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by every cunning and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him, and when you were taught in him, in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus, you were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitudes of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each one of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. That's a lot of mouthful there too, isn't it? And did you notice in there it says, to each one we've all received grace. And in that 1 Corinthians passage too, we've all received gifts. And they're not all the same. It's not all. The gift we have that is the same is salvation through Christ, right? And we have the one and the same Spirit that guides and directs us. But as far as function, wow, we all do different kinds of stuff. How many of you were part of the BCF training that we did at Stutz many years ago now? It's a Biblical Counseling Foundation. The premise of Biblical Counseling Foundation was there are many scriptures that give us instruction of what to put off and what to put on, and this was one of the key verses that we memorized. And boy, I'm an advocate of scripture memory. I'll be blunt. I haven't been working at it lately, but thank you, Lord, I did retain a lot of what I memorized through BCF and through working with Awana kids. Awana is a scripture memory program geared towards kids. But boy, if you're ever a leader in a Sunday school or an Awana program, you learn so much more, don't you? It really challenges you. It's no comparison to being a student, although some of you students may contest that if you're in the middle of some testing sometimes. But and this is one of those verses. I'm going to read part of that again. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self. Just lay that down. Which is being corrupted by his deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitudes of your mind. How do you tune your mind in to God? Well, prayer is one way. Fellowship is one way. Scripture reading is another way. And kind of turn your focus and your attention on what is right. And to put on the new self. Oh, you know, I'm not real happy about this old self. Maybe it's time for a change. With me, when I came to Christ, it was not with weeping and gnashing of teeth and oh, I'm such a rotten person, even though I was. I was not very aware of that, but I was ready for a life change. God kind of spoke to me about, it was in premarital counseling. You guys know the story, most of you. Premarital counseling and talking with Ed Warner and we're going to drop my normal thing and we're going to talk about Jesus. That's what we're going to talk about. And it was so natural for me at the time of, I am ready for a life change. I've sown my wild oats. I've lived my life. And it's time to get serious. And maybe for many of you, that's what has happened in the past. Put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor. For we are all members of one body. That's a struggle sometimes, isn't it? You know, how many of you are fishermen? You know, the kind of classic thing. Oh, how big was, oh, that fish was, oh, this big. You know? Or how big was that buck? You saw, oh, well, he was really big. Yeah, well, you know, we can get caught up in not being truthful. And so many passages of Scripture admonish us, be truthful, be truthful, be truthful. Well, I'm running low on time, but I'm going to read some more. Also in Ephesians chapter 6. And if you're like me, chapter 6, that's where the armor of God is. So, speaking of Nerf Wars, this is at the tail end of that talk about the armor of God. This is kind of the tail end. Starting in verse 18. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, and whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. And real quick, Colossians chapter 3, verse 14. This is the tail end of a really cool, one of my favorite prayers in Scripture in Colossians 3. But verse 14 at the end of that says, over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And that's under the subheading of this talk that, oh, there we go, he got it up. Love, intercession, and healing was the subheading there. Well, maybe I got enough time. I'm going to read one more. Oh, I've got several, but they're all short. But this one, I'll read this one from James chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other, so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. I debated about calling people who would like prayer for healing to come forward and we can anoint them with oil. I'm willing to do that in that prayer room. If you are struggling and you would like the elders to pray for you, Keith is still here. I think Gary left, but we anytime. It doesn't have to be this morning. If you are struggling, you want prayer from the elders, call us. Talk to us. We'll come to your home. We'll invite you after church or some other time. We want to pray for you. We feel called to pray for you. Well, I'm going to have to cut it short. There's some more passages of scripture on this, but we're out of time. But I think you get a feeling for what this passage, what this statement is talking about, as we are the body of Christ. I pray for healing for myself and for family lots of times, and we don't necessarily see it even in this life. You know, Hebrews 11 talks about all the saints who worked at trying to serve God and prayed for the hope that they had and didn't see it in that life, but they were still commended for their faith. So sometimes we have to wait. Sometimes God says, be patient, learn, watch, hang in there. Sometimes it's pretty miraculous, and it happens very quickly. And it's through doctors. It's through just divine intervention, isn't it? Haven't you seen that? I've seen that in my life. So let's pray. Let's pray, and pray for each other. Lord, I thank you for your word and for your illustration of us as a body, with aches and pains and growth and aging and all those ways that we could kind of think about this illustration. I thank you that you took on a human body. And that's maybe why you use that as an illustration, that you have been one of us. But you, unlike us, you were a lot more successful at it. You didn't sin. You didn't blow it. You were the sacrifice we needed to reestablish that relationship with Christ. Lord, we just ask that you would help us as we think of ways to serve, as we're asked to serve, and we pray about how to respond. I think of people who are listening and maybe in this group here that are, I'm not quite sure. I'm not sure I am with Jesus. I know about him. I've always heard about him. I've read about him. I'm not sure that I'm there with him. Lord, you can speak to each one of us on how to serve, where to serve, when to serve, when to receive you, when to say, wow, I've been sleeping along here. I need to step up to the plate. I need to make a decision here. Maybe I need to get baptized. Maybe I need to receive you as Savior. Maybe I need to tell someone about you and your gift of salvation. Maybe I've got a neighbor or a relative that I have in mind, and I think, wow, I'm so timid. I'm scared. It's not my gift, but I have the opportunity. Help us to be open to opportunities. Help us to lean on your Spirit, and thank you for your walking with us through this life. Help us as we strive to be your servants here at Stutzmanville. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Alrighty, we're going a cappella again. So follow me. I'll wait for Mark. Ready? Alright.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory gain, I count but loss. draw near and bless your name. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small. Love so
with us. And have a great week. Go serve the Lord.